The Lie Detector. Alright, welcome to The Lie Detector. You're now in possession of some very powerful information that is unknown to most people. And being able to know when someone is lying to you is a skill that you can pretty much use in any social interaction. Because statistically speaking, the average person tells 3 lies per 10 minutes of conversation. And whether you realize it or not, every day when you leave your house, you're actually giving away more about yourself than you could imagine. So if you can learn to read signals from people, tiny unconscious clues that betray their thoughts, you'll be able to have a conversation with them and to know for sure whether they're lying to you or not. And it's almost like being able to read someone's mind. So after you've gone through this section of the course, you can be sure that there will never be a situation in your life again where you feel like someone is lying to you, or where you feel like someone is hiding something from you. Because when you're armed with this set of techniques, you'll instantly be able to see if a person's story checks out. And just by knowing this set of techniques, you will find yourself automatically reading people and seeing through whatever lie it is they're trying to tell you. And even though most people have heard about lie detection or lie detectors before, most of the time when someone thinks about lie detection, they immediately think of a polygraph test. Now, as with most things, a polygraph test does have its purpose, but the problem with a polygraph is it will often give you a false positive, because someone can easily feel an increase in any emotion, whether it's fear, anger, sexual arousal, or anything else, and the polygraph test will detect these changes even if the emotion they're feeling isn't guilt, so it makes it look like the person is lying even if they're not. And as well as that, a polygraph test can actually be beaten. So when it comes to finding out if someone is lying to you or not, the polygraph is not your best option. Instead, to get the truth out of anyone, you need to have the ability to understand exactly what it is they're communicating to you through their verbal communication and through their non-verbal communication. Because every interaction you've ever had in your entire life, there's always been a lot more information communicated to you than just the words that are being said. And maybe you've never thought about it before, but every human interaction is full of information. And when you know exactly how to decode it, you will then have an understanding into what people are thinking, feeling, and intending to do that no one else has. So this is another element that puts you 50 moves ahead of anyone you talk to. So when it comes to detecting deceit, there are a lot of ways we can actually make it easier for ourselves. So the main things to look out for are covering movements, things like bringing their hand up to their mouth, blinking, folding arms, using objects to shield themselves. So basically anything which someone would do to cut themselves off from other people they're talking to. And we all do this when we lie. And the reason why is because it creates distance between us and the person we're lying to. And distancing helps us alleviate the anxiety we feel when we lie to someone. As well as that, you want to be on the lookout for tension and breaking a pattern that's established by honest answers. And these are all things that we're going to be going into throughout this section of the course. So the first thing I want to make sure you realize before we dig even deeper into the lie detector is that you need to first of all look for signs of lying. So let's say you suspect someone is lying to you, or maybe you think your partner is cheating on you. Then the first thing you need to do is look for signs of lying. And if you notice any of the signs that we're going to get into throughout this part of the course, then one thing I will say is that you never just want to come straight out and accuse them of lying right there and then. Because if you do, then it will straight away ruin your chances of lie detection. Because if you already think that someone is lying to you, then you're going to be looking at them with the wrong frame of mind, and then your observations are not going to be as reliable as they would be if you'd approach this situation with the mindset of, maybe they're lying, maybe they're not. I don't know yet, so I'm going to find out. Because that's the best mindset to have when you're applying these techniques. And if you come at this with that idea in mind, with the idea of maybe they're lying, maybe they're not, then you'll be giving yourself the absolute best chance of finding out if someone is lying to you. So what you need to do is go through the lie detector process and look for some other signs that they're lying to you. Because if you accuse them of lying right from the start, then first of all, If they are lying, then they're most likely just going to deny it anyway. And if they're not lying, then just the fact that you're accusing them of something is going to make their body language change, and you're going to have a harder time trying to read their unconscious cues. So that's the first thing you want to do when it comes to lie detecting. Just bide your time, assess the situation, and wait for more signs that they're lying to you. And then you'll be able to analyze the situation a lot more effectively than you would be if you just go in there and start accusing them right from the start. So if you do all this and you do everything that I'm about to tell you, then you will get your answers and you will find out the truth. Alright, so let's get to some things you can look for, some signs of deception, some ways you can tell if someone is lying to you. So the first thing I want you to understand is that anytime we communicate with someone, there are normally two main ways in which we do it, and they are verbal communication and nonverbal communication. And we've already touched on verbal communication and nonverbal communication earlier in the course, but just to recap, verbal communication is, of course, what we say and the way we speak, and nonverbal communication is what we're communicating through our body language. And one thing that not a lot of people know is that most of our communication is actually through body language. So when I was talking to you earlier, and I talked about the subcommunications of alpha body language, well, this is the same thing, and it's actually around 65% of our communication that is communicated non-verbally through body language. The other 35% of communication is through our verbal communication, so the things we say. Now, what the lie detector is going to let you do is to understand exactly how verbal communication and non-verbal communications work together, and how they can let you read someone to the extent that you can be having a conversation with them and you'll be able to tell just by listening to what they're saying and by looking at their body language if they're lying to you or not. Now, trying to find out if someone is lying to you isn't the easiest thing to do, but when you're armed with this knowledge and these techniques, then it's going to make it a lot easier for you than if you just go in there completely unprepared and start accusing someone of lying. So the first thing I want you to understand is that you need to stick to the guidelines. There are 5 lie detector guidelines that will help you along the way, and if you stick to them, you have the best chance of finding out if someone is lying to you. Okay, the guidelines are baseline behaviors, clusters, groups, continuous reactions, and analysis. Okay, so the first guideline I'm going to get into is the baseline behaviors. Basically, what the baseline behaviors guideline is all about is that you need to identify what a person's usual behaviors are before you can identify any new ones that might develop while you're talking to them and edging towards accusing them of lying to you. So that's why we call these usual behaviors a person's baseline behaviors, because they're the person's control behaviors. And for example, I've got so good at reading people's controls that I can instantly tell someone who's close to me if they've had a stressful day just from their body language. So if I see a friend of mine, I can tell that they've had a stressful day just by the way they look at me. And I'm sure you've probably had this kind of situation where someone who is close to you, you see them and maybe their posture is kind of slumped or they're kind of frowning, and these are the clues you need to look for. If you want to be sure if someone who is close to you is telling you the truth or not, then you need to start making mental notes of their controls, because a person's controls are the foundation for the whole lie detection process. So if you suspect someone close to you is lying to you, then your first step in the lie detection process is to think back over the time you've known them and think back to particular times when they've been upset, stressed, happy, angry, and any other behaviors you can think of, and just make some mental notes to yourself. What's their body language like under these conditions? Do they bite their lip when they're nervous? Do they bite their nails? If they're sad, how do they act compared to when they're angry? Also think about the sound of their voice under different circumstances. Does it go high when they're stressed? Just think about any situations you can when you've seen this person feeling different emotions, and find this person's controls and then take some mental notes of all of them so you can be prepared and be familiar with this person's usual behavior. Okay, so that's what you do if someone is familiar to you. But what about if you don't really know a person and you want to use the lie detector? Well, as you know, you need to do your best to figure out a person's controls. And if you've just met the guy and you suspect he's lying to you, then it's not the easiest task to do, but it can be done. And the way to do it is to engage him in a normal conversation. just needs to be normal fluff talk where he's completely comfortable to be himself, so you definitely don't want to go on the subject that relates to what you think he's lying about. Now, by now, if you've made it this far into the course, then you know all about the different social proof tactics, rapport tactics, and alpha maneuvers, and this is the time to put them to work for you. Make him feel like he can trust you, and you will have more of a chance of him being himself, because you will then be able to find out if he's trying to deceive you. If you don't know the guy, then you can use your dark side knowledge to remain dominant and control the frame, and just lead the conversation into the direction which you want it to go. But just remember, at this point, you just want to keep it light, keep it cool, and keep it calm. Just find this guy's controls. So, what if you want to find out if someone is lying to you, but you're not really in the position to be having a conversation and asking questions about them? Maybe it's a salesman trying to sell you a new TV, and you want to be sure he's not lying to you about the insane discount he's going to give you if you buy the TV today. Or maybe it's the President of the United States. Who knows? Well, if this is the case, and you're in a position where you can't actually engage the person in question in a conversation, then all you need to do is observe them. If it's someone who's famous, then you'll most definitely be able to head over to YouTube and find some videos of the person giving interviews, which is the best place to find someone who is in the public eye acting natural. So just go to YouTube, watch some videos, and notice what their normal behavior is and find those controls to base your analysis on. If it's not someone who's in the public eye, then just do your best to observe them covertly, and just do your best to observe these control behaviors that they have and make a mental note of them. The next step in the whole process is to look for continuous reactions to the particular topic you think they're lying about. The reason for this is because every time you talk about the topic you think they're lying about, if they're lying, you should see continuous reactions to the topic each time it's brought up in your conversation. And these continuous reactions should always be in groups. So what you want to do is test this idea of continuous reactions and bring up the topic in conversation and watch for changes in their behavior. So maybe the person you think is lying is sitting there in the chair and they're swaying their feet back and forth. And as soon as you talk about the topic, they immediately stop swinging them. And then you notice that they're playing with their fingers or they keep running their fingers through their hair. So then you've noticed these changes in behavior. So then, once you've noticed these changes in their behavior, the next thing to do is to steer the conversation away from the topic in question completely and just move on to something else. Just bring up the fact that you've just remembered that you wanted to tell them about something. It doesn't matter what it is, just steer the conversation away from the thing you think they're lying about. Then, as the topic of conversation goes down another road completely, and you begin to notice that the person stops doing all of the new behaviors that they've just developed, and instead they go back to their normal control behaviors, you can then steer the conversation back to the topic you think that they're lying about. Then, once you get onto that topic you think they're lying about, just notice what happens. See if their behaviors change again. So this time, when you begin talking about the topic, you might notice that they start smiling a lot when they answer you. Maybe to try and make it look like they're happy to talk about the topic. Or maybe they start leaning back in their chair to try and make it look like they're completely relaxed. The point is, it doesn't make a difference what their behaviors are, because the changes do not have to be the same every time you talk about the topic. All you're looking for is the fact that when you bring up this particular topic of conversation, there are changes in this person's behavior, and these changes always happen in groups. So there's more than one change. Alright, so now I want to go into some more of the verbal communication, and I want to outline some things you can look for if someone is trying to deceive you. And of course, the best thing you can do is to use these along with the guidelines we've just been talking about. First of all, one thing to look for if someone is lying is they normally won't refer to themselves. So let's say, for example, you believe your spouse is cheating on you, and she has told you that she's gone to the restaurant with her friend, and you believe that she never even went to the restaurant. Well, if you're trying to get the truth out of someone as to whether or not they were actually at the restaurant, you'll hear much less of the usual, "I had this," or "my meal was," and "then she said to me." Instead, you'll hear them talk more about everybody else. And the reason behind this is because it lets the person place distance between her and the lie, so she feels more comfortable in telling it. And another thing along the same lines as that is the quality of details. So if you're asking your wife about her evening at the restaurant and she has no problem going into detail and telling you every little bit about the night, then chances are she's telling the truth. Because if someone is lying to you, then they will just seem like they're not really interested in talking about it and will most likely just repeat themselves whenever you question them about it. Another one which is really important and always something to look for is that people who are lying generally will not reproduce any parts of the conversation that took place. So if somebody is not willing to tell you about the conversation, then there's a very good chance they might be lying. So most of the time, if someone is lying, then they will never say something like, "So then I said to him, what exactly is it you don't like about this place?" Instead, if someone is lying, then they're more likely to say something like, "I asked him why he didn't like this place." Another thing you want to be on the lookout for is, does the person who you think is lying start his sentences with any of these phrases? "To be honest," or "to tell you the truth," or "you won't believe this, but," or "honestly." Because if they're using any of those phrases, or phrases which are similar to those, then there's a very good chance they're lying. Of course, there's always a chance that this person uses those kind of phrases anyway, and if that's the case, then you might want to not read too much into this one. But if they don't use them all the time in everyday conversations, then why would they feel the need to let you know that he's being honest right now? Surely, you would expect him to be honest anyway. Another thing to look out for when someone is lying is a lot of pauses, stammers, ums and ahs. So if someone is lying, then it's a lot more likely that they will be having trouble getting their words out. And the reason for this is because they're having to make up the lie on the spot, so every detail of the lie has to be created and remembered. So there are too many thoughts being processed all at once. If the person is pausing a lot, it's because they need extra time to try and sort out all of these thoughts to try and come up with a lie that sounds convincing enough so that they can get away with whatever it is that they've done. But the main thing that you might notice about their verbal communication if they're lying is that it seems almost to be prepared, like they've been memorizing a monologue. And the reason for that is because they probably have already had thoughts about what it is they're going to say in case they were confronted with this kind of situation. Also, another thing you want to look out for is a change in the pitch of their voice. Now, there are a lot of theories floating about that say if the person's pitch gets higher and louder, then they must be lying. But I've found that the more important thing to worry about is a change in the pitch. Because, as always, we're looking for changes due to stimuli. So if their voice changes in any way, then this is one thing to look out for. Alright, so when it comes to verbal communication, then the first thing you need to know is that when we're communicating with anyone, the voice and the things we say only provide about 20% of the actual information being communicated. So right now, we're going to go over a lot of different ways that you can find out if someone is telling you the truth or not based on a person's verbal communication. Because there are a lot of things you can look for. So in this section, I want to talk about voice quality, voice pitch, volume, speech rate, and a few other things. But first, let's go with what's actually being said. So the first thing I want to tell you about is rigid repetition. And what that means is that a lot of time you'll find that people who are lying will often repeat almost your exact words that you're saying to them. So as an example, if you ask someone, "Have you ever been to a house?" And typically, if a person is lying, then they will say, "No, I've never been to her house." If someone is lying, then they'll use almost your exact words to make their point. And as well as that, if their verbal style is informal and they change to formal, then there's a good chance that they're lying. Anytime you see a change in someone, you need to ask yourself what's behind that change. Also, if someone uses a contraction, which is like, "It wasn't me," instead of "It was not me," then there's a 60% chance that they're telling you the truth. So some contractions are, "It wasn't me," "I wouldn't do that," "I couldn't do that," "I didn't do that." And when they use a contraction, then that means that they're most likely telling you the truth. But when they use the full two words, "was not," "would not," "could not," "did not," then there's a good chance that they might be lying to you. So let's say you think your husband is cheating on you with his assistant, and you're talking to him, and as soon as the subject of an affair with her comes up, then he stops using contractions, and he starts referring to her as "that woman." So if you hear him say something like, "I did not cheat on you with that woman," then you can be pretty sure that he's hiding something from you. Because first of all, he stopped using contractions, and secondly, he started referring to his assistant as that woman. So he's using distancing language. And it's the same thing President Clinton said when he was asked about Miss Lewinsky. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. And also, another thing Clinton was doing that you should be aware of was the finger pointing in a different direction of where he's looking. When lying, your brain can't fully put everything together, and the finger ends up pointing in the wrong direction. And along those lines, some other things to look out for are stuttering, stammering, mumbling, hesitations, and pausing. Because all of these things let you know that his brain can't fully put everything together, and they're having a hard time processing what they're saying. And as well as that, when you see any of these signs, you can also take it that he's trying to delay his response until he's had time to think of the answer, which is going to seem a lot less like he's lying. Also, if the conversation is going in a certain direction, then he tries to take it somewhere else, then again, there's probably a good chance that he's lying, because he's either trying to get off the subject completely, or if that's not possible, then he'll be trying to buy himself some time to come up with a response that seems truthful. Alright, here's another one that's really important. If he's using qualifying statements and prefacing what's being said with something like, I'm only going to say this once. Well, if he was telling you the truth, then he wouldn't feel the need to preface the statement in the first place. And what he's actually trying to do is deflect attention from himself and the question, which means he's probably lying. Now, a couple of things you can look out for that will let you know that they might be telling the truth are admitting to incriminating events. So as an example, in an investigation, only an innocent person would admit to having an argument with a murder victim. A guilty person will never admit to anything which might seem incriminating. So if we take the example of the husband having an affair with his assistant, if he's innocent and he hasn't been cheating on his wife, then he will have no trouble admitting to the fact that he sometimes gives his assistant a ride home late at night. But if he has been having an affair, then you can be sure he would never admit to giving his assistant a ride home because it looks incriminating. Another thing you can look for when you're trying to decide if someone is telling you the truth is memory lapses. So if they admit to a lack of memory about certain details, or if they make spontaneous corrections like, I gave her a ride home and then I dropped her off about 9 o'clock. Actually, it was more like 9:15. Then there's a good chance that he's probably telling you the truth. Alright, so that was some good things that you can look for from their verbal content that they're giving you. The second thing that you need to pay attention to is the way they're saying it, and we call that their voice quality. So when it comes to voice quality, voice pitch is a really important one, and when you notice that a person's voice is higher pitched, then it means that their emotions are heightened. So if someone was accused of something, then a normal pitch would be something like, how can you even say that? And then a higher pitch, where someone's emotions are heightened, might sound something like, how can you even say that? So can you hear how that sounds? It's like with the high pitch, you're really trying to convince them that you didn't do anything. But the fact of the matter is that if you know you didn't do it, then you would be more calm about it anyway, so the pitch of your voice will sound more like the first one. Because if you're telling the truth, then you would expect to be believed. The next thing you want to pay attention to is there may be a crack or the volume of their voice may be inconsistent. So first of all, you need to make sure you know what their baseline volume is. So if their voice is loud and energetic, and then you notice that they've become quiet and introvert, then you know that for some reason there has been a change. So that tells us that something is going on. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're lying. It could be that they're lying, or it could just be that they're more interested in what they're saying. Another thing you can look out for is a person's speech rate. Because when someone is talking faster or their speech is hurried, then this means that their emotions are heightened and it's usually a sign of anxiety. As well as a person's speech rate speeding up, a lot of times if someone is lying, then they'll start slowing down their speech and they'll start having more speech errors. And one that you probably didn't think of is called the Freudian slip. So if you suspect that your wife or your girlfriend has been cheating on you, and then you find out that she's been around your neighbor's house, and when you ask her about it, she says, and excuse the language for this when I say this, but she says, I just went round there to help fix his clock. So if you hear any Freudian slips just like that, then there's a good chance that she is lying to you, because it usually means that they've been caught off guard by a question, and she hasn't had time to come up with a response that will seem like she's telling you the truth. So this is a similar kind of thing to the stuttering, stammering, mumbling, hesitations, and pausing, which, as I said, are all ways to delay the response until they've had time to come up with an answer which is going to seem like they're telling the truth. One more thing to look out for is if they're lying to you, then you will see they're having a hard time swallowing as their throat will be dry from all the stress. So be on the lookout for hard swallowing. Okay, so facial expressions. So when it comes to facial expressions, there are actually 7 facial expressions which have universal meaning across cultures. The 7 facial expressions are anger, fear, sadness, disgust, surprise, happiness, and contempt. Anger is the eyebrows come down, the eyes glare, and the lips are pursed. Fear is the eyebrows are up and pulled together. Sadness is oblique eyebrows. Disgust at its extreme is everything moves towards the middle, so imagine you've smelt something really bad. Surprise is eyebrows up and the jaw down. And if you accuse someone of something and they look surprised, then the way to tell if it's real or if they're just trying to look innocent is that real surprise lasts for about a second when it comes across your face. But if they look surprised for more than a second, there's a good chance that they may be lying to you. Contempt, which is probably the easiest one to learn, is a smile on one side of your face. And it doesn't make a difference which side of your face. It can be the left or the right. It just doesn't matter. And when you see someone with the expression of contempt on the face, it could mean that they have a sense of superiority, or for some people, it's just skepticism. So when it comes to facial expressions, there's a lot of things you need to look out for. And the first one of them is asymmetrical facial expressions. So when someone's facial expression is different on one side of the face from the other, there's a good chance that they're pretending to feel the emotion or the expression is fake. And if someone is lying to you, then you will often see them intentionally use fake expression. So one example of fake expression is a masking smile, where someone is smiling, but her eyes are telling you that they're afraid. A real smile is not easy to fake. So if someone is not genuinely feeling the emotion, and you know what to look for, then you'll see it. So if you want to be able to tell the difference between a real smile and a masking smile, when you're seeing a real smile, you'll see both corners of the mouth drawn up, and you'll see wrinkling around the eyes causing crow's feet and at the corners of the eyes. A false smile or a masking smile, you will see the lip corners will stretch sideways, but you won't see the lip corners lift upwards in the same way as you'll see in a genuine smile, and in a fake smile, you will see no eye wrinkling. Another thing you can look for is that when people press their lips together and it makes it look like they almost disappear, well, we call this lip compression. And anytime you see lip compression, it means that they're feeling anxiety and stress and they're definitely troubled and something is wrong. So this usually is a good sign that someone may be being dishonest. For example, when people press their lips together in a way that it seems like they make them disappear, it's a clear and common sign that they're feeling troubled and something is wrong. This non-verbal behavior is known as lip compression. Another thing that you might see when someone is lying is they will lick their lips a lot more to moisten them because their mouth is dry, or maybe you'll even see them rub their tongue back and forth across their lips because they're feeling stressed. Also, one thing that relates to licking the lips is when the tongue is between the teeth without touching the lips. You'll usually see this kind of non-verbal behavior when someone feels like they're getting away with something or they're getting caught doing something that they shouldn't. So anytime you see this kind of non-verbal action, you need to ask yourself, what is it that's causing the behavior in this person? Okay, so with that said, I want to expel one of the big lying myths, and that is that we're told that when people break eye contact, then they're probably lying. Well, that's not actually true. In fact, as you know by now, our eyes move all around all of the time when we access different parts of our mind to help us retrieve the information we need. And the truth is, if you're trying to see if someone is lying based on eye movements, then your best method of seeing if they're deceiving you is to look for changes in their eye movements. So for example, if a person normally doesn't give you much eye contact, and then you begin to ask them if they're lying about something, and then they begin to hold your gaze with intent, then chances are they're probably lying to you. And as an experiment, at the end of this audio, I'm going to give you a game that you can use to test just how accurate these techniques can be when we use them in the right way. And not only is the game pretty interesting for you to see how well you're doing with your new lie detection skills, but it's also a pretty good social proof technique that you can use the next time you want to control the frame. Also, in NLP, they have something called eye accessing cues. And what that's basically all about is that when someone is recalling mental images or creating mental images in their head, then their eyes will move in certain directions. For instance, if someone is creating an image in their head, then they will look up and to the right, or they will look straight ahead. But from my experience, I've found that this isn't always true, and in fact, a lot of times, some people who might be lying may not give any signs of deception based on their eye movements. So instead, the best thing you can do is to look for obvious changes in the person's eye movements, instead of just focusing on the idea that if they look up and to the right while they're talking, they might be lying to you. But still, as you know by now, looking for one change in eye movements is not quite enough. We need to dig deeper and we need to look for groups of signs of deception, and that's what we're about to get into right now. One big important thing to keep a lookout for is what people are doing with their eyes. And the first thing to think about is pupil dilation. If you see someone's pupils dilate, usually it's because they're feeling some kind of excitement, anger, fear, or they're having a sexual thought about what they're talking about or whatever it is they're seeing. And you can look for pupil dilation in different contexts as well. So for example, if you're talking to a member of the opposite sex and there's no possible reason why they should be feeling fear or anger, and then you see their pupils dilate, then you can be pretty sure that they're feeling intense sexual feelings towards you. Another thing about watching their eyes is you should always be on the lookout for eye blocking. Eye blocking is something that you'll see people do when they feel threatened and they don't like what they see. And it's something that we all do automatically due to evolution, and it helps us to protect the brain from seeing undesirable images. So what you want to look for is if the person is squinting or closing their eyes slightly. And this is something which happens quickly. Usually it's about 1/8 of a second, but when you see it, you'll know what it's all about. All right, staying on the same idea, another thing to pay attention to is the non-verbal communication of the eyebrows. So if you're asking a question and then you see the person's eyebrows go up, then that means that the person knows the answer to the question you're asking. So if you ask an employee if they know who is stealing from the company, and just as you're finishing the question, you notice their eyebrows raise up, then you know that they know something about what you're asking. Also, if we're not attached to the thing that we're saying, then there will be no emphasis from the eyebrows, and this can often mean that whatever it is that we're saying is not the truth. As well as that, if you see someone's eyebrows pulled together, then this means that they're feeling fear, worry, and apprehension. Alright, so when it comes to eye contact and lying, there's actually a lot of misinformation out there, and most people believe that if someone is lying to you, then they will never look you in the eye. But as I said, this is actually just a myth, and people will more often than not give you more eye contact because they need to watch to see if you believe their lies. So the bottom line is, look for changes in eye contact. So let's just say you're investigating a break-in at the restaurant, and you suspect that the restaurant manager may have something to do with it. So then you ask them what they normally do for the first half an hour when they normally get to work in the morning. Then, as they're going through the details of the first half hour of a usual day, you notice that they break eye contact so that they can visualize what they usually do and remember the answer truthfully. Then, when you ask the restaurant manager to describe what happened on the morning that they found out the restaurant had been broken in, you can see that they never break eye contact once because they're not recalling a memory. So there may be a good chance that they're lying to you. But as I've said before, the bottom line is to look for changes, because a person might keep steady eye contact even when you ask them to recall a memory, and then when you ask them a question about something and they have to lie to you, their eyes will be all over the place. As well as focusing on the eyes, you also want to keep an eye on their blinking, because any time we feel any kind of concern or we feel troubled or nervous, then our blink rate always increases. Also, as well as looking for someone's blink rate increasing, you can also be aware of any time you see someone's eyes flutter, because it usually happens when someone is having additional cognitive processing. The next one to look out for, which is really important, is that they have a delay in opening their eyelids as you're talking to them, or they close their eyes for an extended period of time. Any time that you see anyone doing anything like this, then you can be pretty sure that they're feeling some kind of negative emotion or displeasure. Also, one last thing to look out for is if they briefly touch their eyes at all during the conversation. Because if they do, then it usually means that they're having a negative perception of what is being discussed. Alright, so in a minute, I'm going to move on to talking about the hands. But before I do, I want to tell you about illustrators. Illustrators are hand and facial gestures which people do automatically when talking. So as an example, you've probably seen at some point in your life, a lot of people talk with their hands or are really animated with their facial gestures. Well, one thing to keep in mind is that people who are lying won't use facial gestures quite so much, and they won't talk with their hands and their arms as much as they usually do, because they're subconsciously trying not to attract too much attention. So if you're talking to someone who's lying to you, then you might notice their arms and their hands stop moving about while they're talking to you. And if you notice this nonverbal behavior, then this is definitely something that you'll want to pay attention to, because it means that they have a lot of things going on in their brain right at that moment. So you want to ask yourself why that might be. So if you're carefully watching someone and you happen to notice a decrease in illustrators, then it's usually because they're having to think harder and they're carefully thinking about what they're going to say next. So there's a good chance that this person might be lying to you. Another really important thing you need to be aware of when it comes to hands is if they happen to withdraw their hands or hide their hands in any way. So if you're talking to someone and you're sure that they're hiding something from you, and as you're talking to them, they have their hands rested on the table, but the more you edge closer to the subject that you think they're deceiving you about, then you start to notice that the hands slowly disappear from resting on the table, and now their hands are resting on their lap. So if you ever see this kind of non-verbal communication with the hands, then you can be pretty sure that they're hiding something from you. As well as that, if you're talking to them and you notice they have either one hand or both hands in their pants pocket pressed against their leg, then this means that they're feeling tense or some kind of negative emotion. So that's also something you should look out for. Here's another classic sign that someone might be lying to you, and that is that if they're rubbing their hands together a lot. And rubbing of the hands is actually what we call a manipulator, which is where one part of the body grooms, massages, rubs, holds, pinches, picks, or scratches another part of the body. But we'll talk more about manipulators in just a bit. So if they're rubbing their hands together, then it's usually a self-comforting gesture. So it's something people often do when they're trying to reassure themselves. So if they don't believe a word they're saying, then it's quite common that they'll rub their hands or they'll interlace their fingers and then rub them up and down to try and reassure themselves. Now this one is a little more obvious, but it's still something that you need to be on the lookout for, and that is an uncontrollable shaking of their hands. If you're questioning someone and you think that they might be lying to you, then you happen to pick up on an uncontrollable shaking of their hands, then that's a pretty good indicator that they might be feeling stressed or some kind of nervousness. And another one that you want to pay attention to, but at the same time, it's one of the more obvious ones, and that is that if you see them with a clenched fist, then that usually means that for some reason, whatever it is you've just said has made them feel anger, so you'll want to investigate why that is. So I'm just giving you as many things to look out for as I can, and the last one when it comes to hands is if you ever see someone putting their hands on their head, then this is a pretty strong indicator that they're feeling deep shame. So, as always, you'll want to ask yourself why they're feeling that emotion. Alright, so we've talked about the hands, so let's move on to the shoulders. So when it comes to the shoulders, you'll need to be aware of the shoulder shrug. And there are three main different types of shoulder shrugs that you're likely to see, and they are, number one, the one-sided shrug. When you see this, it means that they have no confidence in what they're saying. Number two, the partial shrug, which is where both shoulders rise up, but not fully. So they're not committed to it. And the meaning of the partial shrug is similar to the one-sided shrug. And again, it means they have no confidence in what they're saying. Number three is the full shrug, which is where shoulders fully rise equally, and it generally means that the person is confident in what they're saying. So if you come home from work and you ask your child, "Do you know anything about this paint on the wall in the dining room?" And they tell you, "No," or showing you a one-sided shoulder shrug, then chances are they don't have much confidence in what they're saying. If they honestly didn't have any idea how the paint got onto the walls, then they would give you a full shrug, which is where the shoulders rise up fully and equally. And when you see this, you would know that they're confident in what they're saying and they're fully committed to the answer they've just given you. Alright, so onto the legs. What signs can you look for when it comes to the legs to let you know that somebody might be lying to you? So we've already mentioned that if they have their hands on the table and you notice that the hands have moved from the table and they're now on their lap, so the hands are now on their legs, well, if you happen to notice that they're leg cleansing, then this is an even stronger sign that they're lying to you. So leg cleansing is where they place their hands on their legs and then they slide their hands up and down their thighs. So they're moving their hands up and down their thighs, and this is what we call leg cleansing. And you might not be able to see what it is they're doing with their hands underneath the table, but if you look for the movement in their upper arm and their shoulder, then you'll be able to see this. And chances are that they're leg cleansing. And sometimes a person will only do the leg cleanser just once. And if you see them do it just one time, then chances are they're drying off sweat from their hands. So based on that, you know that there's a good indication that they're feeling stress, feeling anxiety, or that they're just generally not feeling that comfortable in the situation you put them in. Also, if the person you're talking to is sitting there and they're pretty much still in their seat, and then you notice that their foot starts to bounce or they're starting to wiggle their feet, or likewise, if they've already been bouncing their feet and then you see that they've stopped, then you want to ask yourself, what's the reason behind this action? Usually it means that they're feeling some kind of emotional change, some kind of stress, or you've said something to make them feel uncomfortable. Another clue to look for is if they turn their feet inward, or even if they interlock their feet or wrap them around the legs of the chair they're sitting on. Because this is the kind of behavior you'll see from someone who's lying to you, because this is the kind of behavior you'll see from someone who's lying to you, because they're feeling the stress and they're feeling the tension that you've placed on them by asking them these questions that they just really don't want to answer. When it comes to body posture, if someone is hunched over, then we often do that when we're lying because we try and take up as little space as possible. And as well as that, you should look for if he's reluctant to face you. And this is because a lot of times when someone is lying to you, you'll actually notice them leaning away from you. And this comes back to the idea of distancing. Leaning away is a distancing behavior. So if they are lying to you, then you'll see that their body language is shifted a little bit. Or maybe their body is facing you, but if you're talking to them about something that they don't want to talk about, then you might see that their feet are faced away from you, and instead they're faced to the nearest exit. Because again, this is something people do when they want to distance themselves from you or the conversation. It's their subconscious looking for a way out. As well as that, you also want to look for any signs of body shielding. So a lot of times, if it's not possible for him to lean away from you, then you'll actually see him subconsciously use his arms or other objects as barriers. So if you see someone cross their arms while you're talking to them, or if someone is holding their wine glass right in front of their chest, then these are both signs of shielding, and it indicates that they're feeling uncomfortable with the questions you're asking. Now, obviously, a lot of people will happily cross their arms all day long, so just remember, you're looking for changes in a person's baseline. So if you're talking to someone and suddenly they cross their arms, then this could be an indication that they're trying to distance themselves from you. Alright, so that was some of the non-verbal communication that you need to look out for. So now I want to talk a little bit more about verbal communication. So one that you've probably heard about at least once in your life is called denial expressions. So things like, honestly, I would never do something like that. Or, believe me, that thought never crossed my mind. If you've ever heard these kind of expressions in a context where you thought someone was lying to you, then chances are they probably were. Because whenever you hear these kind of expressions, it means someone is trying to convince themselves and you about something. So let me give you a short list of examples. The first two, which I've already given you, are honestly and believe me. Then there are a few more, like trust me, seriously, to be completely honest, to tell you the truth, I have no reason to lie to you, and I couldn't lie. So there's just a short list to give you an idea of what to look out for. And of course, there's a lot more than that. In fact, there's probably an endless list. But just keep your ears open for those kind of expressions. Because whenever you hear them, it means that you want to pay extra special attention to whatever it is they've just said or whatever it is they're about to say next. Okay, so here's another good one. And when I tell you this one, you'll immediately realize that you've probably heard it before at some point in your life when someone has been lying to you. And we call it religious statements. So if you've ever heard someone say something along the lines of, I swear to God, I would never do something like that, then you've heard a religious statement.
Any time when you think someone is potentially lying to you, and you hear them start making references to God or the Bible, especially if they're not usually a religious person, then that's a good sign that they might be lying to you. Some other examples are, I swear on my mother's grave. I swear on all my children's lives. I swear on the Bible. As God as my witness. And honest to God. So those are just a few examples for you. But basically, it's anything which is to do with God, the Bible, or swearing on something or someone. So another one is when you're asking them something and they're being deceptive and they don't actually answer the question and they don't really deny what happened, we call this a blocking statement. So if you say to your wife, did you cheat on me? And then she says to you, I can't believe you would ask me that. You know what I think about people who cheat. Or if you hear them say something like, why would I do something like that? Or why would I want to throw everything we have away? And you can be pretty sure that there's something they're trying to hide from you because they're not actually denying what happened. Instead, they're just kind of trying to get around answering your question. Another one is if they talk too much. If someone is lying to you or trying to deceive you, then they will have a hard time trying to keep quiet because they're doing their best to try and convince you that whatever it is they're saying is the truth. So if someone is telling you the truth, then of course they will want you to believe them, but they will also expect you to believe them as well. So they won't feel the need to really convince you that they're telling the truth. So they won't normally talk as much as a liar. A liar will keep on talking until they feel that they've convinced you enough. The next one I want to tell you about is called stalling. So as with any of these, stalling on its own does not mean that someone is lying to you. But if you hear it, then it's definitely something that you want to pay attention to. Because when you think about it, what does stalling really achieve? It gives them time to think. It gives them time to plan what it is they're about to say to you. And it gives them time to try and make their answer or their response seem more believable. So some examples of stalling are asking you to repeat the question or repeating the question that you've just asked them back to you, or pretending not to understand the question, pretending not to hear the question, or anything else that someone under pressure might do to give themselves more time to respond. Okay, so this is another nonverbal communication one, and it's called an emblematic slip. An emblem is a wordless gesture that has a precise meaning. For example, when you show someone the middle finger, then that is an emblem because it has a precise meaning, and pretty much everybody you'll ever like to meet knows what it means when you show them the middle finger. But here's where it gets interesting. A lot of times when someone is trying to hide something from you, you will see them do an involuntary partial emblem which will reveal to you what they're really feeling, and that's why we call it an emblematic slip, because it's involuntary, so they have no idea they're doing it, it just slips out. An emblematic slip is the same kind of thing as a slip of the tongue in that the person is aware of the anger or the disdain that they feel, but they're unaware of the message that's being leaked out. So an example of a gestural emblem is when someone is feeling anger towards you and they're rubbing their eye, but they're actually doing an emblematic slip and they're giving you the finger. So it's an unconscious gesture, but it has a specific meaning. Another example is a self-hushing emblem. So to give you an idea of what one looks like, imagine someone saying shh to you and holding their finger up to their mouth. And now imagine that same person has their hands together, fingers interlaced, but with their two index fingers held against their mouth as if they're shushing. Well, that's what a self-hushing emblem looks like. So if you ever see this, then that person is hushing themselves because a part of them wants to tell you whatever it is they have in their mind, but another part of them wants to keep it quiet. So if you see someone doing a self-hushing emblem, then there's a good chance that they're keeping something from you. And the last emblematic slip is called a shrug fragment. And we've already talked about this, but I just wanted you to know that a shrug fragment is also an example of an emblematic slip. So like I said earlier, it's when you see someone do either a one-sided shoulder shrug, or a facial shrug, or a hand rotation shrug. Whenever you see any of those, it indicates that the person has no confidence in what they've just said, so that's definitely something you want to think about. One big important thing to look out for is false gestural timing. If someone has really bad timing and their gesture doesn't match what they're saying, then this usually means that they fake the gesture and the emotion that you're seeing is not genuine. So if someone voices an outrage and then there's a delayed reaction before they slam their hands down on the table, then that's a good sign that they may be lying to you. If that person was truly outraged, then it would have happened at the same time, so be on the lookout for that. You also want to be on the lookout for response latency, which is the time between when a question is asked and the answer is given. Now, when it comes to response latency, then you really need to pay attention to what's going on, because a lot of people think that you take longer if you're lying, but that's actually just if the lie is spontaneous. If the lie is prepared ahead of time, then you're eager to get it over with, so the response time will be under a second, so that's something you definitely want to look for. Another thing to look out for is the gestural slip, which is something that we do by accident when we don't mean what we say. So as an example, someone might say, "I didn't do it," while at the same time, their head is slightly nodding in the affirmative. So the person is saying no, but they're shaking their head yes. Or another example, let's say your suspect is describing the appearance of a man he says he saw steal the money, and as he's describing him, he's subtly shaking his head. Well, first of all, a head shake is a gestural slip of no, because he's disagreeing with what he's saying. So he's saying yes, this is what he looked like, but his non-verbals are telling us something completely different. And secondly, as well as that, when you shake your head, you can't visualize. So if he's describing a person and he's shaking his head, you can be pretty sure he's being dishonest. So that's the main gestural slip to be on the lookout for. Some other ones, which we've already mentioned, are shrugging one shoulder, which is a sign that someone has no confidence in what they're saying. And along the same lines is the mouth shrug, which is bringing both corners of the mouth down, which is a classic gestural slip. And it means that they have no confidence in the words, so they're lying. One more thing about gestures is the gestural retreat. And what that basically means is when someone tells a lie, they feel like they need to physically distance themselves and protect themselves from the lie. And you will actually see them take a literal step backwards. And sometimes you'll even notice them cross their arms in a defensive stance. And all of this is telling you that he doesn't believe a word he's just said. Okay, so you already heard me mention manipulators earlier. But just to recap, a manipulator is a non-verbal behavior where one part of the body grooms, massages, rubs, holds, pinches, picks, or scratches another part of the body. So some examples are touching jewelry, rubbing the forehead, rubbing the neck, covering the neck dimple, biting of the lip, licking the lips, object biting, scratching the nose, or tugging at the ear. So when manipulators increase, it usually means that a person is feeling some kind of negative emotion, like anxiety, emotional discomfort, doubt, insecurity, fear, feeling nervous, feeling irritated, or feeling concerned about something. So if you see an increase in manipulators, then it could be a clue to detecting deception if the manipulator is a change from the person's baseline. Because when manipulators increase, the person's level of confidence is lower than normal, or they're relieving stress, and the brain needs the body to do something to stimulate nerve endings, which will release calming endorphins. So when it comes to manipulators, men will often prefer to touch their faces, while women prefer to touch their necks, clothing, jewelry, arms, or hair. And if you see people using manipulators, then there's a good chance that they're telling you a lie. Alright, so now you've got a pretty good idea about how to read a liar's body language. So now I want to start getting into the good stuff. So first of all, bring up things which are indirectly to do with a lie. So if you think your child is stealing money from you, then you could say, "I just don't know where my money keeps going. I don't understand where I keep spending it." And then when you bring up this situation which is indirectly to do with the lie, then you want to look for changes in them. Are they becoming defensive? Is their behavior the same as it was 5 minutes ago? So another thing you can do is bring up a full situation which is similar to the lying question, and then ask them for their advice. Ask them what they would do. So you could say, "I was talking to Jim the other day, and he's convinced that his wife is cheating on him. And he was asking me if I think he should confront her about it or just leave it, and I didn't know what to say. What do you think?" Now, chances are, if your wife or your girlfriend is doing something similar and she's cheating on you, then she will most likely tell you that the best thing he can do is just leave it right now and see how it pans out. And the reason for this is because if you bring up a situation like this, then she's going to think there's a chance that you know that she's having an affair, and the advice that she is telling you to give Jim is really the advice that she wants you to follow. She doesn't want you to confront her about her cheating. So with that said, if your wife tells you that Jim should confront her, then it's a lot more likely that your wife isn't cheating on you and she's being faithful. Okay, the next one is introducing a piece of evidence into the mix. and seeing how the person you think is lying handles it. And you can use this technique in any situation you want. For example, let's say your wife told you she was going out in the town with her girlfriends, but for some reason you just have this feeling that instead she was having a late night meeting with the attractive businessman from down the road. Now, most people, if they felt like their wife was lying to them, they would come straight out and ask her if she really did go out with her girlfriends or if she really is seeing somebody else. Now, this kind of approach never works, because if she was out with her friends, then she would just say, "Yes, I was out with my friends." And if she wasn't out with her friends, then chances are she is still going to tell you that she was. And then you're just going to be back to square one, because you still don't know whether or not to believe her. So instead, the best way to find out if she really was where she says she was is to introduce a made-up fact and then see how she handles it. So for example, if she tells you that she was going for dinner at a restaurant called Alessandro's, you could tell her that you heard on the radio that there was an accident right by Alessandro's, so the traffic was all backed up. Then all you have to do is sit back and see how she responds. Now, the reason this works is because if your wife wasn't at dinner with her friends, then she won't know whether to agree with you or not, because she doesn't know if there was actually an accident or not. And if she says there wasn't much traffic and actually there was, then she will be found out. So if she is lying, then her next move is going to be a hard one for her. She won't know what to do. And if she is lying, then you will know, because she will hesitate while she's deciding the best way to answer. Because think about it like this. If she really was out for dinner with her friends, then she would know that there was no traffic, and she would most likely call you on it and say, "There was no accident, what are you talking about?" But if she is lying, then you will instantly know, because she isn't sure, because she wasn't there. So she will most likely hesitate, so you will know she's lying. Plus, if she is lying, then there's a good chance she may agree with you and say, "Yeah, there was an accident, there was a lot of traffic," because she has no idea that you made the whole thing up. So with that in mind, if she does say that there was no accident and there was no traffic, but you still don't believe her, and you feel that she may have just called your bluff, then you can still reveal the truth by digging deeper. So you can easily ask general questions and still make it look like you're just having a general conversation about her night. Because if you think about it, when a person has really been out for the night in the town, then there's usually some sort of story to tell, or whatever it might be. For instance, you might ask her what time she got to the restaurant, or what she ate, and just make a mental note of the details she tells you, and then be on the lookout for time slips or notice how the details might change. Another technique you can use is to just bring up a situation in conversation that is similar to the one that you think they might be lying about. So for instance, let's say you're a woman and you think your husband might be seeing someone else, and you can just say to them something like, "I was talking to Jim today at work and he's told me he's having an affair. He's actually started seeing someone else." And then what you need to do is just sit there and watch how they react to the situation. Now, this is another example of when you want to be watching their control behaviors and looking for any changes. If they do have something to hide, then chances are they won't want to talk about it. But if they're not having an affair, then they will most likely be interested to know more about the situation. But the main point is to just watch their behavior and look for groups of changes. One more thing you can do, and we go back to the restaurant example for this, is you can ask them to tell you what happened throughout the entire night from start to finish. Then when they finished, you ask them to tell you it backwards. So start at the end of the night and work backwards. And the reason why you want to do this is because when you're lying, it's hard to tell a story backwards because there's no real memory of what happened. So liars rehearse their stories in order. They don't think to rehearse them backwards. Alright, so now we're at the part of the lie detector where we bring it all together. This is the part where you step back and look at everything you've seen from the person you think is lying to you, and you make a solid conclusion based on those facts. But when it comes down to it, you are the one who has to make the final decision based on what you've found out and based on what you've seen. And I'm sure if you've got to the point where you suspect someone is lying to you, and then you have used all of these techniques outlined in this portion of the course, then you have a pretty solid idea whether or not they're being deceitful. But the best way to make your conclusion is to almost treat the whole thing like a professional investigation. So instead of jumping to a conclusion right there in the moment, you need to take the time to step back and analyze the situation. Go through each step in your head and ask yourself if you did it in the right way. Did you find out the person's control behaviors? Did you look for the behaviors in groups? Did you change the topic of conversation and then go back to the topic in question? Just ask yourself if you did everything and make sure you take care while jumping to conclusions. Relationships can be easily broken if you misjudge a person for something they haven't done. Now, this is one of my favorites. And the first thing you need to say is, I can't keep this on my mind any longer because it's driving me crazy. I found something out and I'm really hurt. And I know you're just going to try and deny it, but I just wanted you to know that I know, okay? So by saying that sentence, you've done two things. First of all, you've let him know that you think he's guilty of something. And secondly, you're letting him know that you know what it is. So now, once you've said that, usually one of two things is going to happen. The first one is he's going to come right out and admit to you that he's been lying about something. And the second one is he's going to try and play dumb like he has no idea what you're talking about. Now, if he comes right out and admits it, then good, you've got your answer. But if he's playing dumb, then your next move is, in the heat of the moment, you just say, you know, I'm too upset, I can't even talk to you about this anymore. And then just start to walk away. Now, the secret to this one is that a guilty person will let you walk away because that's what they want you to do. They don't want to talk with you about it. If someone is telling you the truth, then they will want to talk about this thing and they will want to sort the problem out. And the last one is just to come right out and ask them. Now, one thing you need to make sure you do when you're asking them if they're lying to you is ask the question and then don't say anything else. Stay dead silent and just see how they react. And this is the point where you want to pay attention to their emotions and keep in mind everything that we've talked about so far, because this is the point where you're about to make your conclusion as to whether or not they're lying to you. All right, so now to the homework assignment section. Now, what I really want to do to cement these techniques in your mind is to give you a game that you can play with your friends, and it will let you test all of the techniques that we've been talking about here in this section of the course. Now, I've already mentioned eye accessing cues, but just to recap, when someone is thinking, their eyes automatically move and look in a specific location depending on which part of their brain they're accessing. So by learning exactly how eye accessing cues work, you can tell from the movement of the eyes whether or not someone is making an image in their head of something that happened, something they're remembering, or something they're making up completely. And the six directions that someone's eyes normally look, and they are up and to the left, down and to the left, up and to the right, and down and to the right. And each of these six directions means something different. Up and to the left means they're remembering something visual. If they're looking to the left, it means they're remembering something auditory. If they're looking down and to the left, then it means they're speaking to themselves internally. If they're looking up and to the right, then they're constructing something visual. If they're looking to the right, then they're constructing something auditory. And the last one, if they're looking down and to the right, then they're having a kinesthetic thought. So as I said, when someone is thinking, you can tell from the movement of their eyes whether or not someone is making an image in their head of something that's happened, they're remembering an image, or whether they're making something up. So when it comes to the lie detector, you need to keep a look at their eyes and see what's going on in their mind. So if you ask your husband if he's attracted to his secretary, and you see his eyes looking down and to the right, that's a classic sign that he's checking his feelings. So just remember, left and up is remembering something visual. Left, remembering something auditory. Left down, speaking internally. Right up, constructing something visual. Right, constructing something auditory. Right down, having a kinesthetic thought. Alright, so now for the game that you can play. The first thing you need to do is sit opposite your friend in a chair, but just tell them that you're going to play a game. Don't mention anything about what you're going to do just yet. For now, just tell them to sit in the chair opposite you and then ask them to imagine their house. And then you're going to ask them some questions. So the first question is to ask them what their house looks like from the outside. Then ask them what color is the carpet as soon as they step through the front door. Next, ask them what they can see if they look out of one of the windows. And as you're asking all of those questions, you need to make a mental note of the movement their eyes are making. So let's say when you ask them the visual questions about the house, then you see them look up and to the side, which is a classic sign of visualizing, so take note of that. The reason why you want to take note is because now you're going to ask your friend to imagine the first person they ever kissed. And then you're going to ask them to answer five questions about the first person they kissed, and one of those answers has to be a lie. Okay, so the first question is, how old were you? The second question is, what color hair did they have? The third question is, where did this kiss take place? The fourth question is, were they taller or shorter than you? And the fifth question is, what was the weather like? Now, if everything went according to plan, then they should have lied about one of their answers. And if you were watching their eyes, then you should have seen some kind of change in their eye movements. There should have been some movement in the eyes from one of their answers that didn't match all of the others. So let's say for four of the questions, his eyes move up and to the side, which, as you know, means he was visualizing. But then with one of the questions he answers, his eye movements are a little bit different. He moves his eyes just briefly to the side, but not up and to the side. Then you know that this one is most likely a lie. The reason why is because just going to the side is more of a sound cue, because it's something you do when you listen. So probably he was most likely listening to the sound of his voice, thinking about whether he sounds convincing or not. If there was no clear change in their eye movements, then maybe you noticed the change in some of their other behavior based on the principles you've learned in this part of the course. And if you did, then you can use it to reveal which answer was the lie. If you still can't work out which one was the lie, then don't worry about it. Just give it another try, but try not to read too much into it, because luckily, it's a lot easier to spot the behavior changes of a lie in normal conversation than it is to spot them in this kind of game. You could also ask your friend to describe five scenes from their life from over the past year. So, for example, I went to visit my sister for her birthday. We were sat in the dining room, and the room has a red carpet, a chandelier hanging from the ceiling, a fireplace. And then ask them to completely make one of those five scenes up from their life over the last year. Another thing you can do is to ask your subject to think about five pieces of information about their house, and one of them has to be a lie. But this time, they don't say anything to you. They just do the whole thing in their head, and again, you'll be able to tell which one of them is the lie. You could also ask them to describe five people that they know, and tell them that they can be friends or relatives. Just has to be very brief descriptions, like tall guy, blonde hair, long beard. Alright, so that's it. That's the lie detector. Hope you enjoyed this part of the course, and as you can probably see by now, you can use these techniques in any situation to give you absolute control over someone or over people in general.